If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Growing up in Chicago, I always thought that the Democrats were smart. They were crafty. They were devious. They were cunning. There were people like Richard J. Daley. There were people like Jane Byrne. There were people like Fast Eddie Verdoliak and Eddie Burke. They wouldn't be foolish enough to stick their heads into a trap. But then here comes Pritzker putting his head right in the box trap. If you ever see a box trap, what it is, it's like you got two little twigs holding up a box. And here comes the beastie, whether it's a raccoon or possum or rabbit, and they reach for it and they put their stupid little animal lips around the bait and they start pulling like the carrot, and then all of a sudden the box falls on top of them and they're trapped. And that's how I see Pritzker and Trump and crime, because I didn't think a politician would want to be associated with, hey, our party is pro-crime. We love criminals. Leave those criminals alone. But that's what Pritzker's done. He's become the pro-crime governor and the Democrats the pro-crime party. Now, is that a smart move? I don't know. I guess you could create a scenario where if Trump does bring the National Guard to Chicago, you have a lot of screaming, a lot of anxiety, and they could manufacture dissent and they could manufacture some sort of street theater as they did in the Summer of Love. But I think people are tired of that now. I really do. I think they're tired of it. And they want to be able to take their wives to dinner. They want to be able to sit on the porch with their kids in the summer and not get shot off the porch. I don't know. But we have over 50 people shot this weekend and at least 7 or 8 dead. And that's We're recording this on a Monday morning, on Labor Day morning, and there's still all of Labor Day. And never mind that there were over 25 shots the weekend before. But then you've got Pritzker and company saying, oh, well, listen, no violence here. We've got it under control, and we don't want an invading army. He says invading army. You know what? Can you imagine putting Pritzker on the street? Let's say 22nd and State Street at 8 o'clock or 9 when it's dark. People are afraid, Governor Pritzker. And Bob Mylan, former Cook County State's Attorney, who came up with the plan originally years ago to bring the National Guard to Chicago to prevent the street gangs from shooting each other in random drive-by shootings. He's here with us to talk about all this. Jeff Carlin is here. Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend, future physics teacher, and me, I'm John Cass of John Cass News, husband, father, executive editor of the great website. When you join us, you will be able to pour yourself a good cup of common sense. And where are you? As another 50 people are shot in Chicago in crime, and the Democrats say there's nothing to it, no problem. Don't look here. There's nothing to see here. And Trump threatens to bring the military presence of the National Guard because it is an emergency. And you know why I know it's an emergency? Because good people, parents, mothers, children, are laying on the floor in some neighborhoods, laying on the floor tonight, and it gets cold, but they don't want to get hit by flying bullets in their neighborhoods. Where are you? As mothers and children take the L and are frightened to take the CTA because rich people like Pritzker don't have to worry about it. They have bodyguards. They have armed bodyguards. So they can talk tough at 6 o'clock in the morning. And where are you? As the Democratic Party paints itself into a corner, steps into a trap, and says, announces to the voters of the country that they, the Democrats, are for crime. They're the pro-crime party. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So in 2015, assistant state's attorney, longtime prosecutor Robert Milan came up with an idea to cut down the drive-by shootings in Chicago. He would use the National Guard to close down certain arterial streets, set up checkpoints, because these gangbangers were driving back and forth, murdering children on the street. We get all upset, and rightly so, when, like in Minnesota, when the children were killed in Minnesota. But do we get as upset when black babies are slaughtered by black gangs in Chicago? There seems to be like a taboo, like we can't talk about it or can't do anything about it. Well, Robert Milan decided to do something about it. And he's here again with us on the Chicago Way podcast. Bob, what came into your mind to use the National Guard?
The way it started was in the early 2000s, the Chicago police shut down a large area in the west side called K-Town, which was very, very dangerous. It's the area named, you know, with all the K streets. It was open air drug markets.
Yeah,
unbelievable amount of shootings and murders, and so they shut it down for a prolonged period of time, a couple months. I mean, they saturated it. Right, you couldn't do anything, and we had wiretaps going on the gangs. And I was listening to the wiretaps, and these gangbangers were saying, "We got to get out of here, man. 5-0 is everywhere. We got to shut this down." And there wasn't a single shooting in that area the entire 2 months that they saturated it. So I thought to myself, why don't we do this, you know, across the west side and south side, the most dangerous areas, the 10th, the 15th, the 6th districts, and bring in extra help, bring in the National Guard, bring in ATF, Cook County Sheriff's, Illinois State Police, FBI. And so that's how I first came up with the idea. Then what happened is, I wrote the op-ed on June 30th, 2015. It was published to bring in the National Guard because the murder rate was crazy. I mean, you're talking about 800 homicides in a year and 4,350 people shot in a single year. I mean, it was nuts. So I wrote the op-ed, and then I met with the Emanuel administration and pitched the idea to them, and they basically said, National Guard's off the table. We're not doing that. And I said, okay, well, why not? Well, the optics are terrible. Oh, the optics are way worse without it. I mean, think about what's going on out there. The optics are way worse. But they said, give me plan B. So we pitched the plan to saturate the five worst districts in the city with Chicago Police, Illinois State Police, Cook County Sheriffs, ATF, FBI. And they did, but they did it on the three worst districts, which were 6, 10, and 15. And they only did it for one weekend, which was November 11th to November 13th, 2016. And in that weekend, only one person was shot in those districts, where it would have been 30 or 40 back then. And so I said to them, it worked. And they said, yeah, we can't afford it. We can't keep doing it. So to your point, John, when you kick this off, at the end of the day, to the residents of Austin and Englewood and Chatham and Garfield, and I say to you, it's too expensive to protect you. That's what the state and city has been telling you for decades. We could put an end to this, and right now is the time, because you got a president who's saying, I'm going to flip the bill. I'm going to federalize it, so I'll do it.
Right.
And he'll send them in, and only Chicago and Illinois would ignore it. Unbelievable. How we're going to miss this opportunity to protect these people. So all of these bodies that we're going to see in September, October, November, and December, assuming nothing happens, we know who to blame.
Yeah, Bob. I mean, it was worse than in that centralized area. And, I mean, now it seems like post-pandemic, random violence is just stripped out beyond that. And then we had the chance to maybe contain it, stamp it out then and limit. And the idea with the guard was to, narrow the paths of flight, to keep things, say, hey, if there's I do something in the neighborhood, I'm not going to have anywhere to go because you're going to shut down pretty much all the insights. Walk me through that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you just brought up a good point. First off, it is very, very important to commend Superintendent Snelling and the Chicago Police Department for what they've done in the last 2 years. What they've done is nothing short of remarkable, right? We're on pace to have 2,000 people shot in Chicago this year, as opposed to 4,350. We're on pace to have 400 homicides instead of 800 homicides. That you have to take your hat off to them and their partners in fighting crime. Superintendent Snelling is a real deal, in my opinion. They're doing an amazing job. However, even they would concede that we're not there yet, right? Mm-hmm. But yes, Jeff, to your point, we're not in the dire straits we were back in the 2016, 17, 20, 21. Those years were crazy. Yeah. And you probably don't need to go to the extent that I wrote in the report, but now we have a chance, right? First off, Chicago should be setting metrics. Like, businesses set metrics. Why aren't we, right? So how about what if the goal was we're going to have 800 shootings the entire year and less than 200 homicides? People would say, I'm nuts. Can't happen. I disagree. It could. So then you say, all right, we're in this great place. Let's bring in the National Guard. Let's protect these areas, because all the shootings are still happening when we're talking about, Jeff. So it's still, it's still in these areas. If you look at last weekend, 31 people were shot in the city of Chicago, 4 dead, right? 11 of those occurred in and around Austin, all right? In and around the 15th district.
Which is the mayor's neighborhood.
Right, right. And then another 8 occurred in and around Englewood, all right? So that's 18 out of the 31. If those areas were saturated, and instead of 18 being shot in those areas, there's 15, we would have had a weekend with 16 people shot in the middle of summer. That's unheard of, right? So those are the kind of things you got to be looking at. Those are the kind of goals you have to have instead. But, we got a governor and a mayor who just ignore it, right? They're on the precipice of making history if they took the president up on this. This could be an unbelievably safe city, and it would free up the Chicago police to patrol the other neighborhoods where every alderman's complaining. I don't care who you are. If you're in Edison Park, if you're in Beverly, every alderman wants more police, right? Well, this would free them up to do it. So, and it would shut down carjackings dramatically. I saw an alderman on the other day and he's saying, oh, this won't affect carjackings. Are you kidding me? You have National Guardsmen all over the place and Humvees and they're all around. Do you really think three teens are going to walk up, put a gun to somebody's head with a National Guard down the street? No, this will impact crime dramatically.
Now, you've spent your lifetime in law enforcement, Robert Milan, but I want to get back to something that we touched on at the beginning of this. If you have a gang of criminals attacking the rich, for example, Winnetka, Wilmette, say you had it, you know, going on there, what would be the response by law enforcement? I would think generally it's everything rolls downhill. So the commander, whoever, starts getting the calls from the influential guy in the neighborhood, and then it proceeds from there. The wives and the auxiliaries get involved and start complaining and putting pressure on law enforcement, and sooner or later, they crack down. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, if this is going on, let's just say that in Beverly, where I grew up, they were told, the 19th Ward was told, next weekend you're going to have 24 people shot and 3 dead in Beverly. They'd build a moat around Beverly before they let that happen. I mean, they would bring in the National Guard, Navy SEALs, you name it. Edison Park, same thing, you know, before they ever let that happen, right? But because these are impoverished, overwhelmingly Black communities, nobody does anything for decades. In my lifetime, all right, I'm in my 60s. This has never been dealt with. Think about that.
Yeah.
This has never been dealt with in week over 60 years, right? We just keep kicking the can. Well, that's what happens there, right? That's what happens in their neighborhood. We let it go. And, you know, I heard one mayor used to call it one city. We're not one city. We're not one, you know, you can't compare neighborhoods. These places are so dangerous where they live, even with these numbers, that it's ridiculous. And here's an opportunity to fix it. And we're going to swing and miss again.
All those children that we've gone to their funerals, we've talked to their parents or moms, usually grandma, usually. Everyone's weeping and they put out the shrines on the street, you know, on the parkways with the little damn balloons and teddy bears, and everyone's crying. And the TV camera comes up and the TV girl or boy gets out of the thing and they check their haircut and then they start emoting and everyone's emoting. But that's all. Then they move on to the next one. And here you are, Bob, with a plan that seems to work, that is logical, and they won't touch it. Because why?
Because they believe it's the optics are bad to bring in the National Guard. The optics would be terrible. And what they don't understand, and a couple of these past mayors may still be mayor if they did this, right? And that people are sick of it, right? Absolutely sick of it. So if you live in those neighborhoods, you're terrified and nobody's changing anything. So I don't know why they count on their vote anymore. I really don't. I don't know why these governors, mayors continue to think they're going to get the vote. Things are going to change because these people are fed up and they need help. And then you look at what's going on in the rest of the city. I mean, River North is dangerous as hell, right? An area that used to never be dangerous. Now it's very dangerous. And these carjackings are happening to everybody. You know, people that live in Wrigleyville and Lakeview, you know, they don't feel safer. Even with these numbers getting better, they don't feel safer because of what happens on the CTAs and the L's. You know, riding L in some of these neighborhoods is terrible. And the carjackings are terrible. How about these businesses? Every other day, there's a shoe store on the south or, you know, south or west side that they're just, you know, they're just going in and taking everything, right? How do you keep bars that are getting robbed in the middle of the night have to shut down? They can't stay open anymore.
Those Louis Vuitton bags were for sale before the news reporters got home out of the van. What a town.
Yeah.
The governor and mayor, they could be heroes if they addressed this the right way, if they took it seriously instead of holding press conferences on the Chicago River or standing there, you know, in a really safe place with, by the way, they're surrounded by their own armed security guards, right?
Wait,
but think about that. They're surrounded by their own armed security guards, but that's not good enough for the people on the South and West Side. They don't cut it on the South and West Side. They don't count, right? Don't count. I mean, think about that. It's insane.
You're out in Grant Park or down at the downtown lakefront at 6 a.m. talking about how much of a tough guy you are with a phalanx of bodyguards and everyone's itching to grab their gun. Come on, man. Come on, yeah, Pritzker.
Well, that's the mayor who had somebody who was murdered across the street or had a murderer living across the street from him. So, but Bob, what do you think? So this is, you know, as we're recording, this Friday, the discussions we've been hearing and not, you know, don't want anybody to spill any trade secrets here, but we see that this may be coming in as early as like the 2nd of September or next week at some time. What role do you think they'll play? Because I know when in your plan, it was more of a shut down these quadrants, these neighborhood full court press and limit the in and out of those neighborhoods to then kind of slow down anybody's thought process and say, hey, you're not going to go out because you can't get away. You're not going to do something because you can't get away kind of thing. What role would you think they would have here? Because as far as I can tell, the city and the state won't allow local police to interact directly with the National Guard from what we've heard.
Yeah, if that's their position, it's not going to work. I mean, you can't, they got to collaborate. They got to work together. And so that's why I'm so frustrated. That's why this is so sad, because the city is missing a huge opportunity here. Huge.
Yeah.
And so look, it's not what, as we said earlier, this isn't 2016, 17, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. Things are better, right? But this is the time to knock it out. This is the time where you get to really, really, I mean, real safe numbers, right?
Yeah.
And so I would recommend that they bring them in to still patrol these areas. I mean, you don't have to shut down streets as much as I said and everything else. You might want to do some of that. You don't have to be as extreme as I called for, you know, back in 2015. But you still bring them in and saturate these areas. And, you know, think of the average person who walks out their front door. People are saying, I don't, you know, they put people on the news saying, I don't want to see military out on my block. Really? Well, would you rather walk out and see three gangster disciples stand there waiting for you? Or would you rather see these guys patrolling the street, making sure that your kids get to school safe? You can sit on your porch without getting shot. You can go to a park without your kid getting shot. You know, it's ridiculous, right? So to answer your question, it's now just saturate these areas, you know, put the patrols in there, free up the police to cover other areas. You know, if you notice the terms that the mayor and governor use, you know, they're going to occupy our city. Yeah, right. Nobody ever said they're going to occupy the city. They're going to overrun our streets, the military. No, nobody ever said that. They use terms like militarize, you know, that nobody's ever said that. They use those terms to scare people. And then, and here's the other problem I have with the media and people in general. The media should be asking the governor and the mayor the following question. Are you okay with 2,000 shot and 400 murdered this year? Is that acceptable to you? And with most of them being in black communities on the South and West Side, do you accept those numbers? And if their answer is yes, which obviously it is yes, because they're not doing anything about it, then we just keep going on. But people then know they don't count. You know, think about what this could do for 2026. Like we're talking about just now, September through, you bring them in for 6 months or 8 months. Think about what 2026 is going to look like. You could hit those record numbers I'm talking about: 800 people shot and less than 200 homicides. You could actually get there, but we're going to mess it up.
Well, and it almost would be counterintuitive, because the numbers go down, then the mayor rides a wave of popularity that he hasn't seen at all, and then, you know, back to still borrowing high interest loans to put out fires while pouring gasoline on others. And it's just going to be more of the same.
I don't know, this what I'm going to say sounds crazy, but if he did it, I'd be rooting for him. I mean, he would be. I know that he has a lot of issues as mayor and everything else and this governor, but if they did that, if they actually tackled this thing, I mean, hats off to him, you know. And again, what Snelling is doing, the direction he has things going, is it's really remarkable. It's great.
You know, one of the things about politics, it's about the game, find the pea, you know, look for the pea, move around, move the shells around. Well, you know who we're not talking about when everyone, not just me and you and Jeff, but the rest of us, when we're talking about National Garden, Chicago, Trump doing this and that, we're not talking about two things. Tony Preckwinkle, boss of the Cook County Democratic Party, picker of judges, and Chief Judge Timothy Evans. Isn't that funny how we're not talking about things that are important to these equations that you're mentioning? Why is that?
Yeah, and they are important. I don't know, but it's obviously important. Who we have sitting on the bench is huge, and there are some judges that are excellent, a really, really good judge, and there's some that should never be on the bench. It's just a fact.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page Two, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com.
There's a new sheriff in town.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
But as he settles in, can you deal with the hysteria, the meltdowns, the constant whining?
I don't know what to do.
You know what you need? You need a good cup of common sense.
It's just common sense.
Like the kind of common sense you get when you subscribe to John Cass News.com. I'm John Cass, 40 years a journalist in Chicago.
The Chicago way.
I opened this website, John Cass News, so that you could have a decent cup of common sense.
This great country of ours was built on its entrepreneurial spirit.
It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Subscribe today to get access to great columns from John Cass, Dan Proft, and others. Don't be a chum alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I've got a judge, retired Judge Jim Brown, a friend of mine, who is writing a piece for John Cass News coming up, and next week we'll run it once we get through with it. But there are people like that, the people that understand what's happening, and we're not, as media, we're not focusing on the questions that are important that you, Bob Mylon, have told us about. Like how many black kids dead are acceptable? That's one. How about how many repeat offenders being released on electronic monitoring who shoot people when they're out on the street is another. No one wants to talk about that, Bob.
No, which brings in the Safety Act, right? Which is a complete misnomer. It should have been called the Danger Act. they lied to the whole public. You know, and this is Pritzker, Chris Emanuel Welch, Speaker of the House, and Don Harmon lied to everybody. They knew what they were doing. Their first version was insane. I mean, what would have happened?
Yeah.
They're forced to go back to the drawing board and rewrite it, but it's still terrible. I mean, I want you to think about something. If a guy was a convicted armed robber, then he got convicted of murder, he serves 20 years, he gets out, and he serves his parole, and then they catch him in a stolen car, right? He steals a car. Everybody would think, well, yeah, convicted murder, he's going back in. No, under the Safety Act, he cannot be held in custody. Cannot. Same guy serves, does armed robbery time, then murder time, gets out, his parole's over. He sees a woman on the street, walks up and punches her right in the face and knocks her down and gets caught running from the scene. Cannot, under this act, be held in custody. It's ridiculous. And the amendment would be so easy, and I wrote an op-ed on that. Just allow judges the discretion to hold anybody in custody for a Class A misdemeanor or greater based on their criminal background and the facts of the case, right? But it doesn't allow that. So, what are they doing? And what does that do? So that sends a message from some of the top people, including Preckwinkle, who you mentioned, and other people, to the judges that do whatever you can to let these guys out. That's the spirit of the Safety Act. Let them out, right? Empty Cook County Jail. And so you have judges putting people on electronic monitoring that should never be on electronic monitoring. They should be in.
Murderers.
Right. And so what happens? It's so bad that the Cook County Sheriff says, I'm not running this anymore. I'm done with this electronic monitoring. This doesn't work. I mean, he pointed out that 115 individuals were charged with murder, attempt murder, that were out on electronic monitoring. 114 committed sex offenses while they were wearing the monitors.
And murders. shooting people on that while they're waiting trial. Right.
While they have the ankle bracelet on. I mean, think about it. And nobody does anything. Nobody says anything. And the amendment could be so easy. You give judges the discretion to hold anybody in custody for a Class A misdemeanor based on the offense they're charged with and their criminal background. Simple, simple thing to change, but they won't do it. So, yeah, it's, oh, I'm telling you, living here is so frustrating. Only Chicago, Cook County, and Illinois.
Bob, who wrote the criminal code? Who wrote the criminal code? George Soros?
He might have had something to do with the safety act, I'll tell you that. Because this thing's insane.
I'll tell you that, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Jeff, what do you think of that?
I always go back to the idea that we live in one of the states that where the politicians, you know, talk about guns and how bad they are, and we have lots of laws in the books that try to protect the general public, but we don't seemingly enforce any of these laws. And every time I talk to somebody who's been in the system, who worked in the system, you know, like yourself, Bob, it's always, well, you know, there's a disconnect between the federal and the state and the local. And, you know, you get a guy, you know, beats somebody up and has a gun. The gun charge goes away all of a sudden. But why? Why is that? Where do we start fixing that? Because it seems like everybody, and we know this, I mean, there's so many handguns in this city, you know, probably more handguns than people, if I was guessing. How do we force it to be, if I'm breaking into some place and I get picked up and I've got a gun, I'm going to jail. I'm not coming back. You know, I'm off the streets for 6 months, a year, whatever it is. I mean, that would be put a screw into the numbers overnight. Like, where do we start there?
Yeah, you got to amend some of these laws, like the Safety Act. That's a huge problem, right? Because those examples I gave you earlier, when I was a prosecutor, those guys were not walking out. They were being locked up, right? And then as far as enforcing the laws, you know, it comes down to the state's attorneys and judges and how hard they're going to take these cases and how hard they're going to push them, whether they're going to cut deals. But, you know, the criminal element in Chicago and the gangbangers, they know that in most situations, they're not going to spend significant time in Cook County Jail. They're going to be out. And they know it. And they're laughing at it, you know? So what does that result in? It results in guys who've domestically abused their wives or girlfriends over and over again who eventually kill them, right? Because nobody took drastic action and got these guys locked up. You know, how many examples of that have we had in the recent year? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's baffling that the compassion clearly is everybody wants, you know, violence to stop. People don't want to be reading this and seeing it and having to go and cover this, and it's terrible. But there's got to be a reason we're ignoring it, and is it because there's money behind this somehow? I mean, I don't see the benefit to burying your head in the sand on this. It's not votes. I mean, people who are plagued by the violence aren't voting. If they're voting, they're not voting for the people who are keeping them in power. So where's the push to just ignore this stuff?
The political agenda being pushed that resulted in the Safety Act and a lot of this nonsense is that there's too many black and brown people in Cook County Jail. We got to get them out. That's it.
That's simple.
I mean, I've heard them. You know, I've heard Preckwinkle say it. I've heard other people say it. It's that simple. They say they got to do it. They don't look at the fact that the people that these people that should be detained and victimized are black and brown. They don't look at they don't look at how dangerous they are. They're like, just get them out. I mean, so what happens? Lawless individuals that I've already described. I mean, people that repeatedly batter people. They cannot be held in custody. They can't. You can batter a guy, you get arrested, you're released because you can't be held under safety. You batter a woman the next day, can't be held. You batter somebody a third day. I mean, think about how nuts this is. Repeated thieves, right? People that do those, the smash and grabs and go in over and over and over again in cars and in businesses and all that, they cannot be held in custody under the Safety Act. Repeated gun offenders cannot be held unless they're violating their parole or they're violating the terms of their release. They cannot be held in custody. So what do we have? We have a lawless community, right? A lawless community. How many times have you read about a guy arrested 18 times? Who's walking out, and he might be mentally ill. He might have issues. 18 times he's been arrested and he walks up and hits somebody on Michigan Avenue or punches somebody downtown or does whatever. And you're like, wait a second.
The little girl hit in the face with a log on Michigan Avenue at Christmas.
Oh, that was horrible.
That poor girl. Yeah.
Those individuals should have been locked up and kept in custody. But the judge should simply say this, sir, you are lawless. Like, you are never going to follow the law, ever. You know, I have a history here in front of me. You're never going to follow the law. Lock them up. Under the Safety Act, based on the charges, the judges can't lock them up. Think about that. It's insane.
So our priorities are skewed and wrong. They're wrong and they're dangerous. We're thinking about the federalization of crime while we ignore the local authority that is, I guess, complicit, not in the specific crime, but in the lawlessness. Preckwinkle, Evans, the people who select the Cook County judges and so forth. Here's one thing for you both. I'd like you to weigh in. Years ago, there was a friend of mine who was helping me push an idea through the state legislature. Repeat gun offenders, you know, throw away the key, you know, put them in for 10 years. And all that kind of fell apart. Why? Because mama would come out and scream. They want the crime gone until you're arresting their son. You arrest their son, then they start screaming that you're a racist and a authoritarian. You know, don't touch the son. Isn't that the real politics that we're dealing with today?
That's a lot of it. That's a lot of it. A lot of pastors get involved in those cases, you know, having been a prosecutor and high ranking, you know, you get a lot of phone calls from pastors and he's a good boy and don't hurt him. And yet, look, you don't want to bury every person, right? So why do we have like deferred prosecutions for first time gun offenders? It's for that reason that you just hit on, right? And I'm not against that. Actually, I'm in favor of it. It may sound like I'm going the other way, but first time offender with no criminal background and he's, you know, you got an 18-year-old kid with a gun. Do I want him locked up? No. But I also don't want him ever carrying a gun again. So the deferred prosecution programs.
What about three time?
That's different. That's different. Yeah. Well, that guy's getting locked up. Even a second time, you got to go, right? Because you got the break of a lifetime in light of this. But yeah, first time offenders and caught with a gun, I'm okay with deferred prosecutions. Not the second or third time, though.
See, that's where I think we're failing on that, because we know.
Yes.
It should be first. You're carrying a gun and you do anything crime. It should be automatically you're off the street for 6 months, because that should be the penalty. That should be the thought going through every kid's head when he picks up a gun. Oh, my brother has been in jail for 6 months and it sucks because he went around and did something stupid with a gun. I mean, why are we giving any pass for anybody to have a gun? I don't carry a gun. You know, I would never carry a gun. For that reason, that's the mentality I think we need to get away from. Because I get it, we want to protect kids, and you know the Tim Evans idea that their brains are maturing. But what is that? What is that? I mean, it's not like it's like, oh well, he was carrying, had to be carrying a gun. He made a mistake of carrying. It's not a mistake. It's a choice. It's an active choice. And people say, oh well, there's violence. He's protect. Well, that's the crap we're trying to stop. So why do we do that? Why do we say, well, he had a gun, so slap on the wrist, don't do it again? I mean. That's an active choice to be violent, you know, to have the thought of violence in your mind, to pick up a gun and have it on you and go do something. I mean, I know kids make mistakes, but when I was a kid, I was making mistakes, you know, locking my keys in my car. You know, why do we do that, Bob? Why is there even a thought that says, oh, well, let's give him a chance to not carry a gun next time?
Yeah, it sounds like we reversed roles, Jeff, but you make a good point. I mean, look, your argument's strong, and I totally get it. By allowing the slap on the wrist the first time, you're opening up the door for bigger problems, and I get it. But it just goes back to what I said earlier, which is first-time offenders, very young people. You know, do I really want to lock them up? Personally, I don't, but your argument's very strong, right? Maybe if we had, you know, 10, you know, 6 month sentences for first time offenders, it would also attack this violence, and it probably would. But that's a much more difficult argument.
Until we start holding the parents accountable.
Yeah. You know? It's unbelievable.
I mean, mother, are you talking about lawlessness? It's, you know, I remember I used to have a caregiver when I was recovering from, you know, my stroke and heart attacks, that She would say, she was black, and she would sit from the South Side, she would say, just cut their welfare off. You cut, your kids are acting up, cut the welfare off. I don't know how you do that, like legally, but I understand the sentiment. There's got to be something done. Like this kid in Minneapolis, that monster that attacked those children, that wanted those children dead. Is someone going to tell me that the mom and dad didn't know that they were harboring a monster in their home? I mean, you've spent your life in law enforcement. Does that stuff really happen? Like, I don't know. I didn't know.
Not rarely, rarely. I mean, now you open up the whole other side of this, right? So there's a long-term plan, and then there's the, you know, so I'm not a long-term plan specialist, right? I specialize in dealing with the violence, and that's what I've been educated, and that's what my experience is, and that's why I wrote what I wrote. But there obviously is a long-term plan. It has to deal with incredible poverty. I mean, you go down to these areas, and I'm down there a lot. It's unbelievable poverty. I mean, these people have nothing, right? You walk up on their front porch and it's 50-50 whether you're going to crash right through it. I mean, that these houses are dilapidated. They have nothing. There is very few double parent homes. It's all single parent. A lot of times it's mothers and grandmothers raising the kids, oftentimes grandmothers. And they're out all night, right? And so that's not going to be solved anytime soon, unfortunately. Let other experts and try to deal with the long-term plan of bad schools, broken homes, incredible poverty. You know, we can go on and on. Mental health issues, and they all step up and say, "Well, forget bringing in the National Guard because we have to deal with these, you know, these root causes, right?" Which we're talking about now. Yeah, you do, but that's not going to happen for a decade, if not more, if ever, right? If ever, are we ever going to deal with the generational poverty and lack of parenting? I don't know. You know,
well, it's another thing. I don't think we are, but you have your idea to use the National Guard. How would it be done? How should it be done in Chicago?
First off, it should be done in collaboration with Chicago Police Department and Illinois State Police and Cook County Sheriffs, ATF, FBI, bring everybody in and huge meetings. How are we going to do this? All right. What do you do? You look at where the crime is occurring. We just talked about the areas where it's occurring, right? All right.
Right.
National Guard, we're going to saturate these areas and here's what we're going to do. And everybody's going to be on the same radio thing and everybody's going to be in contact. And if you see something, you call it in and, you know, they all say, well, they're not trained for policing. Give me a break. We sent them all over the world to fight people all over the world. They can't come in and patrol the Chicago. It's a joke for them to say that. So you bring them in and you just shut it down. You saturate it so much that all of a sudden the shootings cease, and that's what'll happen because these guys, they're cowards, right? They're not going to walk out in front of a three National Guardsmen with automatic weapons and light up a corner. They're not going to do it, right? They're going to get the hell out of there just like they did in the early 2000s when I was listening to them on wiretaps, right? They're not going to take on law enforcement. And so that's what you do. I don't think you have to go as drastic as I said last time where I said, you know, you got to shut down areas and access to areas and the highways, Dan Ryan and Stevenson and Eisenhower and exits and entrance because of the drive-bys were so prevalent back then, especially on the highways that they had to be dealt with. You don't have to go that drastic, but you got to do it in collaboration with the Chicago police and you got to bring everybody in and it would be amazing. I mean, think about during COVID, right? Pritzker held a news conference like every day or every other day talking about how they're dealing with it, right? But for you young black kids getting mowed down on the South and West Side and these communities getting lit up, when do you ever see him addressing it, right? When do you ever see him stand up after a bloody weekend and talk about, you know, what's going on out there? You don't see it. Why? They don't care about you. I'll say it again. They don't care about you. It's just let it happen. We're not going to address it. We're not going to do what we need to do. And that makes me sick.
Bob, I want to ask you, one of the things that, you know, we talked, just kind of brushed on it earlier, but the idea of this long-term fix and, you know, let's invest in the neighborhoods. And that's all the stuff that, you know, obviously needs to happen would make sense. But one of the things that, you know, someone like Johnson, Mayor Johnson talks about is, you know, oh, these violence interrupting programs are working. Oh, you know, we're, you know, we've got so much invested in, and, you know, if anybody's followed Chicago politics and history, you know, the courts are littered with people who are involved with those programs who are also dealing drugs on the side or tipping off people. What's your interaction with any of those groups, and how has that impacted, you know, the situation we're in now?
I know some of them, and the people that I know are impressive. You know, I'm really, you know, they are out there. They care. They are trying to make a difference. But to your point, look, I don't know how much due diligence they do on these people, but some of them have pretty substantial rap sheets, and they're brought in to be violence interrupters. You're like, really? So, yeah, there's examples of them and being involved in shootings. There's a video that from last week where they allegedly two violence interrupters were trying to interfere with the police arresting a guy with a fully loaded automatic weapon with an extended ammunition casing on it, and watched it, and they're in their outfits, you know, so I think they were violence interrupters, but I don't know that for sure. But yeah, I like to think that the CPD is in partnership with these programs and the Cook County State Attorney's Office and others, and that's why the numbers are going in the right direction. So we need all the help we can get. But I think they got to do better due diligence on it. They got better at probably a better oversight over what these people are doing out there. But we need all the help we can get. So I don't want to throw them out as if they're not of value, because I think they do bring value to the game. You know, I touched going on to this long-term stuff. I was speaking to a group about 2 years ago, and there was a congressman, I'll leave his name out, but a U.S. congressman was there, and he said, hey, why don't you bring your, you know, people, you know, big business people into our community and invest in businesses and invest in banks, you know? And I looked at him and I said, congressman, nobody is going to invest in your community until the bullets stop flying. Nobody. Now, who are you kidding, right? Unless you deal with this violence, who's going to invest in your community, right? When the riots broke out in 2020 or whatever, the George Floyd stuff, you know, all this, these poor people, that they couldn't go to Walgreens anymore because all their Walgreens were wiped out because of the riots, right? All their stores were ransacked. They had to go to other areas. And so, you know, until, you know, you want to see these communities come back, the bullets have to stop flying. That's the first thing that has to happen. And then maybe you'll get people investing in your communities.
And I don't think that holding the federal government up for more, like, we have to work this out. Like some mayors are saying, we'll work it out. We could have a meeting. Why? So you can get more programs with the left hand while you're welcoming National Guard with the right hand? I don't get how that works either.
Yeah, I don't. There is no logic behind it, you know. And you know, you're in a financial crisis. We are in a huge financial crisis, City of Chicago, and you have a president who's saying this is going to be on me, because once he federalizes them, he's paying for it, right? And this would clean up your streets and free up police to do other things, and only Chicago would pass it up. You know, it's unbelievable.
Have you talked to anyone in Washington about this over the past couple of years? Has anyone come to you?
No. When I wrote the plan, Jim Smith and I, we turned it over. I'll leave the person's name out who was direct contact with the president. This is under Trump's first term in 2017, and I was told that he got it. He got the plan in 2017, but I haven't heard anything since.
Well, now what? Now we're recording, as Jeff said, on a Friday morning before the long Labor Day weekend.
Cool weather, so who knows what's going to happen.
And every paramedic in Chicago, every sergeant, detective sergeant, and every emergency room doctor is praying for rain and cold. Right, guys?
Yeah. God bless the Chicago police. I mean, really, what I see them do, what they have to deal with every day, it is unbelievable. I'm rooting for them, you know, and again, what they've done in the last 2 years is remarkable. It's just we're not where we need to be, or not even close. So, but yeah, it's amazing the work they do and what they put up with, and we should all be in their corner.
We need to ask you before we go, what are you up to? What what's your plan? Because I was hoping that you would run for state's attorney, but obviously that didn't happen.
No, I'm not.
What is
I'm
your
not,
plan?
I'm not interested in running for office anymore. That was, you know, I'm just not interested in that. So right now I'm a pretty lucky guy. I work for a company called Prescient, in which we conduct internal investigations for companies and due diligence for companies and things of that nature. And then I, the special prosecutor and all the John Burge homicides, I've been doing that for eight plus years. And hopefully we're nearing the end on that. So I'm just going to keep working hard and, see what happens. But, I'm a lucky guy. I'm healthy and I intend to work for a long time, many more years. So I'm just going to keep going along and then swinging at windmills, trying to change things in the city and in the state.
There's no retirement for people like us. No.
And I don't want to. I think it's just I don't think it's healthy. So I'm going to keep going, but I live a good life and I can't complain. I just want the rest of Chicago to live a good life, you know, a safe life. I mean, I think of that. I grew up in Beverly and we didn't hear gunshots like ever. But that never happened. I raised my kids in an area where they've never heard gunshots up here. Why can't everybody live like that? Why can't we, you know, why can't we be one Chicago and look out for the little guy, the impoverished people on the South and West sides? You know, that's kind of my passion, obviously, and I'm going to stay at it.
Works and faith. That's what we're left with. Robert Mylon, thank you for being here on the Chicago Way.
Thank you, sir.
Great talking to you guys. Have a great and safe weekend.
See you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, fellas. Bye-bye.
For Robert Mylon, longtime prosecutor, lawyer in Cook County, the man who, along with Jimmy Smith, came up with 10 years ago with the idea of using the National Guard to throttle the carjacking and drive-by shooting in Chicago. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend and future physics teacher. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief of John Cass News. Talk to you again next time, everyone, for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.